Hey, cashiers. We Have the Receipts podcast is coming at you live from Netflix is a Joke Fest in Los Angeles.
Chris, are you kidding?
No, Netflix is a joke, Courtney, but this is not one of them. Our listeners in LA have the chance to join us for a live recording of our podcast, We Have the Receipts, hosted by me, Chris Burns.
And me, Courtney Revolution.
Join us and a few surprise guests from your favorite Netflix reality shows on Saturday, May 4th at 1 p.m. at a secret location in Hollywood.
To be announced.
Get your tickets for the We Have the Receipts live show at tudum.com/WHTR. That's Tudum, TUDUM.com/WHTR.
Tickets are limited. If you can't make it to the show, we still want to hear your beautiful voice. Leave us a message at speakpipe.com/WeHaveTheReceipts.
You may even hear your own voice on the show.
Grab a ticket at tudum.com/WHTR.
And we'll see you on May 4th in Los Angeles. Bye, cashiers.
I didn't know yet that I wanted to actually become an agent, but I wanted to be involved in the company in some capacity. And then I kind of got over the idea that it was embarrassing to be a real estate agent or in sales. I felt like a used car salesman, which is hilarious because that's what my fiance actually sells also.
Hello, guys, and welcome to a new episode of We Have the Receipts. I'm Chris Burns.
And I'm Lawrence B. Hamilton.
And today we are discussing Buying Beverly Hills, which It's in the top 10 on Netflix. The people are loving it. It is, for those of you who are not abreast to the reality. It's a fun little, but it really is. It's like a new subset, I feel like, of reality.
I was about to say, there have been so many reality shows that Netflix has introduced to us, and I'm learning to love the reality, but this show pulled me in, surprisingly. Like, I'm a fan.
I like that it has a similar, like, it, as Selling Sunset and stuff, where it, like, shows the house a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I love seeing how much the houses are and, like, the crazy shit that... Yeah. These people, but like the $139 million house.
Right.
Absolutely crazy. But this one is about
$139 million. Like, what?
Can it's you crazy. Like
it's crazy to see it?
The money you must have to be able to afford a $140 million
must house. Be nice. Well, like they said on the show, you know, they said the people who are buying these homes are in a whole different like subset mindset, like.
Yeah.
It's just a different ball game.
I like he's like literally a random billionaire will buy this house. Like that's literally the only person that will. And it's probably someone that'll be there like 2 weeks a year, which is
right.
crazy.
Barely there.
It's like the someone summers, from like know? Dubai. Yeah. That only is in Beverly Hills every couple of weeks or for a couple of weeks every year. But that's the vibe a lot of this one. So it's based, it's about Mario Umansky's family-run firm, The Agency, which is like pretty well-known. His wife was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, so which they do mention. She's never in the show, so they must have been filming or something at the same time. But like even Alexia and Farrah, like I've seen them since they were young children. So I think that a lot of people already kind of know and love the family. So that's probably why it's already in the top 10. But they're showing the most lavish properties in and around Beverly Hills. And there is drama around every corner. But I don't feel like it's like crazy. It's not like Selling Sunset drama.
No. And I think that's what I kind of like about this show because it's like, it's a family-run business, right? So we see the relationship between the father, who's the owner, and his daughters, and them going back and forth. And, you know, people are tiptoeing around the company, around the daughters, because they're like, we don't want to get fired. So it's drama, but it's not like, you know, like you said, it's different.
I like also that they kind of don't shy away from the talking about the nepotism. And like talking about the stories, like when they're like, they talk about, well, we should get into this in recapped, I guess, because I'm sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
What do you think of Mauricio? he's known as like Beverly Housewives fans are like, Mauricio's the hottest house husband.
Oh my God. Listen, Cam, I love you. But I was like, he is so handsome.
Right. And when he's like daddy Mauricio, I was like, yeah, babe.
Yeah. He's so handsome. And I love how he takes care of his business and he's and all family. About his daughters. Like, it's something so sexy about a man who's like, first off, taking care of business, but also a family man. Like,
that's yes. what everyone on that, like, for Housewives is like, everyone loves him because he's also been with mm-hmm. his wife for like 27 years or something, which is pretty unusual wow. in
yeah.
Beverly Hills.
Especially, yeah.
And
in the industry,
like Farrah, the fact that Farrah's like, he's raised since she was five, but it's just like very, I love the whole family.
See, now I know that this is like blasphemy, but I have not seen all of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I know. I'm more of a Real Housewives of Atlanta fan. But I'm going to say after watching Mauricio, honey, I'm going to go back.
It's also funny because, and I love Atlanta as well. I watch too much mm-hmm. TV.
it's your job.
But they, in Housewives, the house that they're selling, like the childhood home, the... What is it, Milford? They yeah. call it, is like in so many episodes. And one of the other housewives like rents it from them and almost burns it down. And it's like a whole like thing. So it was crazy to see yeah. that house in that capacity. But let's, mm-hmm. should we jump into the recap and then we can.
Let's do it.
So obviously we start with the first episode, meeting the family. Farrah mm-hmm. is, I think, like 32. She seems to really have it together. She's a senior agent.
Yeah. Almost too much to me, right? I mean, she just seems so like...
Well, she talks about her OCD and I'm like, that tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, it makes sense as you progress through the show. Where it seems like she's in it, but also it just seems like she's kind of bored with what she's doing, right? Not bored, but like she's...
It seems like she
needs a change.
Yeah, she's the best. Right? She knows everything she can, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, she's looking for the next level of what her career is going to be.
Yeah, because Alexia's 26, I think. Mm-hmm. Alexia is 26 and Farrah is 32. So the age difference isn't that big, but it feels mm-hmm. kind of.
It does.
Like Farrah carries herself much more mature, I think, than mm-hmm. 32.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
And then we meet some of the rest of the senior agents, Allie Lutz, who was the very pregnant one, mm-hmm. who was trying to stir up the drama at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Girl.
It was a lot of people who were trying to stir up drama that were part of the agency. I'm like, oh.
I know. Okay, I think they were like trying. We'll get into that because there was.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Ben, who was he's like YouTube. I don't want to say YouTube fame. Well, he's like, I have a video with over a million
Super
views.
Realtor.
And I was like, well, that's not like. That crazy.
Yeah,
but he sells a shit ton of real estate also. He like has sold mm-hmm. He said I think like 60 houses a year or something was his thing. He like already has sold over $200 million worth in the year they were filming. And then there's John, who kind of just seems like he's good at his job. And they're the ones, and they like have teams under them.
Can I just say John's eyebrows? Is John the one with the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't okay. think I noticed his eyebrows that much.
You didn't? How could you not? They were very... They introduced themselves on the screen before he did.
I also liked when he was talking about how he was like a roadie and stuff. And he was like... Because oh, right. I guess he used to like travel around with music, like Metallica. And he was like, yeah, mm-hmm. I pretty much the opposite of like what I appear. So that was interesting.
It was interesting. So you can never judge a book by its cover.
No, you really can't. Mm-hmm. And then we meet the junior agent. So Joey, who is Alexia's friend from high school. Sonica, who was on American Idol and won't hesitate to tell you at every turn.
Yeah, she was so eager to sing. I was like, man. Oh,
it was.
They're like, sing something. Before they even got out, sing something. She was like,
It was like giving Sal with the ukulele.
It was, very much so.
Even, like, when she's at Whitney Cummings' house in the last episode, and Whitney Cummings is like, you're a singer, sing something. And she just starts singing Amazing Grace.
Like, she just burst it out.
Interesting. Very interesting. Brandon, he's 36. He was a dancer, and now he's trying to get into real estate. And I feel for him, because 36 with these 25-year-olds.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel like Brandon... watching this show, every time he comes on screen, he's just like, I'm just out here trying to get a paycheck. Like, this is my life. I was just like, I really feel him because he's around these people playing like ping pong, Joey and Alexia playing ping pong in the lobby, and he's trying to like make his calls.
Oh, totally.
Lord.
And the fact that the nepotism of, you know, not only the daughters, but like Joey, who's grew up with her, like,
yeah. And is it just me? Like, I get he has like his comedic, you know, but I'm just like, is it just like the younger generation? Now I feel like somebody's auntie, but is it just the younger generation? They don't take anything seriously. Like, he just comes in cracking jokes. Like,
I feel like as it went on, he got a little bit more likable. I feel like at the beginning, maybe when they first started filming, he was like trying too hard.
That was
the vibe, is that he was like, okay, I'm trying to be. And I think Alexia and Farrah were really natural because they've been on Housewives since they were little kids. So they're like,
that's true.
Used to it. And you could tell with, especially Joey, that he was like a little bit performing.
Yeah.
Instead of it's just hard having to have a camera in your
face.
Yeah. I mean, you would know.
Yeah, I mean, you too at this point, Chris.
Yeah, but not like in a real in a reality sense.
Yeah,
I'm always performing when the cameras are out, honey.
Yeah.
And then Mauricio gives Alexia her first big listing, and sort of like her first listing. And it's $6 million, and it is the house that she grew up in, and he is the client. Mm-hmm. So Farrah fairly doubts Alexia's ability to sell this house. And Mauricio, you can tell, gets kind of heated.
Oh, yeah. He was mad. Don't talk about his baby girl.
No. You could tell. I mean, there's nothing you can do in a situation like this. Even when Brandon's, like, talking about the nepotism, I'm like, yep, it sucks. And that's that.
Yeah, like, there's nothing.
Like, no matter what, they're his kids. He's always going to pick them.
And he's the boss, you know?
Yeah. And the fact that this company has only been around for 8 years is crazy.
That is insane. Because they're worldwide. They have these huge listings. Like, man, maybe I need to get into real estate. I feel like
every time I watch these shows, I'm like, should I get my real estate license?
Do I need to start selling houses? Because...
And they're talking about how it's like, it's just performing. I'm like, I'd be good at this. And I also am pretty good at retaining facts,
remembering things. You actually would be great at real estate.
I think I would be a great
We've discovered so many different life paths for you on this show.
I'm like, who knows? Maybe that'll be my next thing. And then episode 2, we open with Sonica and Brandon getting tested by Mauricio. So they're like the junior agents. They don't know that he's coming to this house, and they're like, okay, tell me everything about this house. I did feel for them because Sonica was like, I didn't like read about the house. I don't know.
Yeah. And she was so nervous, which I get, because I'll probably be nervous too. Like, I'm new to real estate. My boss is here and he's telling me, walk me through the house. Like, I just started yesterday, basically.
And the fact that they're like, we never get to see him. We don't have the time. I think he
the
was
pressure.
A lot of him in the office, because I'm like, he's there all the time. But it must just be because they're filming. Because I'm like, they're opening like however many other offices in different cities and stuff. So he probably isn't there a lot. So it probably is pretty nerve wracking.
So is he on there often, or is he just like a peekaboo house husband?
Oh, no, he's just like he is like they don't, I'm trying to think. There's like some Housewives like franchises where the husbands are like more involved.
Yeah.
I would say about the same as Atlanta, like just when they're like having a dinner or like.
Yeah, and then the husband's come around.
And he's never like in the drama. He's just always like sitting on the side with.
He's just there. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like friends, close friends with some of the other house husbands. So they'll be at the party and like whatever.
Got it.
But so then we meet Melissa, who is a senior agent in Dallas and California. Mm-hmm. Which I got the sense because she like lives with Alexia when she is in LA or in Beverly Hills. And I'm like, does she really? I think she's probably more based in Texas. And then
that will make more sense.
Right. And they're filming. So they were like, let's, and they wanted her to be involved.
Right.
Because I thought that was interesting. I'm like, that's odd.
Yeah. I was like, they don't give me like roommate vibes. Like, no. It just doesn't seem, you know.
And she, Alexia, or I mean, Farrah was like, not loving that, that she was staying with her, it seemed like. Yeah. So Melissa brings buyers to the house Alexia is showing. This is a big cause for a couple episodes of drama. Alexia is showing the childhood house, but it's like the day that they decided this. So nothing's staged. She's not like prepared. Melissa brings in these buyers and Alexia doesn't really know much. At all.
I wouldn't say she knew much at all. I think the whole big thing was that she said Calcutta stone instead of
Carrera.
Carrera.
Right?
Which I wouldn't. I'd be like, Calcutta stone? Okay. But I guess if I was paying millions of dollars for a house, I want you to know the type of stone that's
Yeah,
in
it's
here,
also, I'm like, you could also get away with saying anything confidently.
Yeah.
Just, like if you're just stone, like, it's Calcutta.
It's stone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's quartz. Just make shit up.
Exactly. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Keep it simple, stupid. And then Melissa's like, that was good. I'd give you a B+. But then immediately she turns and tells Sonica really and Brandon, she's like, she doesn't know. It was really a C.
I thought that this drama point in the story was so extra. Like,
I could see, I think it was dragged out a lot, but yeah, I mean, whatever.
She told me a B-. It was really a C.
She was very...
I mean, I guess it was more so about the embarrassment that she was talking behind her back, saying that she wasn't as good as she led her to believe, which I get.
And I think Alexia was like especially hurt because Melissa's so close to like the whole family. So that was her whole thing. Sonica immediately goes and tells Alexia... Which I was like, girl, that, like, rude.
I know. You know she said you suck, right? Like, wait, whoa.
And she's like, yeah, I just wanted to let you know. I know you're feeling. Because I'm like, I get for the sake of the show, for the sake of, you know, being a good friend and telling. Sometimes I'm like, I don't need to know everything. Like, if you hear something that someone said about me. I don't need to hear everything that people think about me.
Right. I don't.
But like, thanks, I guess. This is also when we see Joey's listing. So they make a big deal out of this listing, which is like a $7 million house that is a teardown in the Beverly Hills Flats. And it's Joey's aunt's house. But they have to like jump through hoops to get the listing still.
Yeah, I think it's so funny that his aunt was like, I don't know, Joey. I don't think that you quite know.
It wasn't until Mauricio got on the phone and was like, I'll be there, that she was like, okay.
And then, yeah, she was like, okay, well, if you'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, Beverly Hills nepotism runs rampant. Like,
yeah,
it's so hard. And that's true about anywhere in any industry, I think. It's like, it's just really hard to not know people in the industry.
I mean, hey, listen, if I have family in high places, you think I'm not going to take the opportunity?
Amen. Hell, that's what I'm like. I 100% take the opportunity. You just also have to take the bullshit that people
true.
Are going to say.
Be prepared for the stones.
But
that's true.
That's what it is.
Part of it.
Yeah. Mauricio, they're having a party at the house. He's like talking to Sonica about having everyone's giving Sonica like confidence boosts the whole time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is where Mauricio gets on the phone. They close the deal with his aunt. Melissa and Alexia finally talk about the giving her a seat behind her back. And Melissa, this was a little bit harsh, I thought, when Melissa was like, let me ask you a question. Do you think real estate is the right career for you?
Do you think you're cut out for this? Yeah, I thought that was a little ballsy. To me, that was more ballsier than the I give you a C.
I think so, too. And it's not like Alexia is like, I'm the best bitch out here. Like, yeah, she is very like, I know I'm new at this. I'm learning stuff still. Like, I know that I've been given
humble about it.
Yeah. Like, what do you want the girl to do? Like, be like, right. No, I'm not going to take this opportunity. I'm going to go get a job as a waitress. Like, you have to take a step back and be like, of course, that's what you're going to do.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that was an intense question.
Yeah, I was kind of like, ooh.
But it did, I think, kind of give Alexia the fire to be like, I need to prove what I can do. And she does. I mean, she like comes up mm-hmm. with good ideas, that like the puppy adoption at the house.
That was cute.
It's very
the influencer party she had.
Yes. It's very like what was it in Selling Sunset? Botox and burgers.
Oh yeah.
Like
puppies and property.
Yeah, she was doing puppies and property. That's funny. But she really did. I was like, that's impressive. She is doing sometimes, you know, you need a fresh
creative ideas.
They just put there's going to be a 25-year-old in Congress. Like,
hey,
listen, whatever.
The world is limitless.
Apparently. this is Brandon is like talking more about how he changed careers, how he has a different time being black in this area mm-hmm. as well, where he's like, I can't just mm-hmm. go door knocking like you guys can go door knocking. Like,
yeah. It's like, if they call the cops on me, I'm like, damn.
Damn.
Because it's probably true.
I mean,
but at the same time, I just feel like every time the camera is on Brandon, he's like, this is a new career. This is a new career. Like, okay, Brandon, we get it. It's a new career.
Yeah. There was serious. Things where I'm like, yeah, it's hard. But he was throwing Sonica under the bus a little bit too much, where he was like, I just wanted to talk to you about how you said Sonica and I both needed to improve. It was clear I was better than her.
Yeah, I thought that was a little. He was like, we are not the same. She sucks. I tried.
And he was like, okay, yeah. like, I felt right? like Notice? That was interesting.
Yeah.
And John does give Brandon a listing. It's $8 million, and he crushes it at the showing. Which, I mean, I thought he did great when he was selling that.
Yeah,
at the open house. Farrah is also talking to her boyfriend about how she wants to get married and have a family, and everybody is kind of in her business about that. I felt like that whole thing was a little, I did think Allie was being annoying when they were at the party. So we're at mm-hmm. Farrahween, which is what Farrah does for her birthday every year, I guess.
Yeah,
which
Halloween.
I'm like, that's fun.
That is fun. It's a big deal. They said this happens every year.
Yeah.
Your chance to
it's a huge
they really had, show out.
She said they had 600 people at her 30th birthday.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a small wedding.
That's big insane. Wedding. and so yeah, at Farrahween, Allie is like kind of just bringing up how she should be married in front of her boyfriend over and over, which is embarrassing for everybody. and then Ben is considering leaving the company because he wants to get a bigger cut from another company, which, you know.
Typical.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Can't blame him. The fight with Sonica and Kevin, that was so like.
Yeah, I didn't really. It was it felt a little like, what? How did we? She was like, you should have told me that you kissed her 5 years ago before we even got together, because you guys text each other and I asked you if you ever dated her and you said no.
And he's like, we drunkenly made out. Like, that kid wanted nothing.
Do you think he was in the wrong?
No, I also think that that guy wanted nothing to do with being on a show.
Yes, it seemed kind of clear.
He was like, this is my job. I don't want you to bring drama up in front of our coworkers. Like, he does not care about the assignment from Netflix.
No. She's like, no, come on. Remember the argument?
And he was like, oh my God, fine. But so they like clear that up. Farrah has a romantic dinner set up for Alex and he proposes, which I'm like, it was interesting because the whole romantic night was planned by Farrah. Yeah. But I'm like, how did he know?
How did he know?
I feel like he had the ring and maybe had plans. And then he was like, you know what? She's like, obviously.
Yeah, I guess now's the time.
Ben makes the mistake of telling Alexia's friend Joey that he's like being courted by other firms.
Mm.
And asked Joey if he would ever leave the Umansky team to join his, which...
Yeah, Joey goes and tells
Mauricio, and it doesn't, I mean, that's the drama. I was like, it's handled all very, like, realistically.
It is.
Like, I thought Mauricio, was going to, like, pop off, and he was just like, I understand. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
like,
it was a very sensible angle at drama.
Yeah.
And must I say, it was refreshing. Now, I did go online. I saw some people were like, oh, you know, it's kind of boring. Where's the drama? Da, da, da. But see, this is the type of drama I like. You know, because it's like, okay, they solved that in an adult way. This is, it made me feel good. Like, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like a ridiculous lifelong arguments about.
Right.
Like you know? In Selling Sunset, that fight about giving a C, that would have been like three seasons worth of not speaking.
Oh, absolutely. Remember two seasons ago? That's true.
Then we see Alexia's like wanting more. She talks to Mauricio. That also was very sensible. Like, she was just like, we need a director of operations. And they were like, okay, we'll hire a director of operations.
Yeah, like, we can do that.
Like, sure. I'm like, a very, yeah, the good... And Mauricio's like, that's perfect.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
For the goodness of the business.
We see Whitney Cummings' house, which is beautiful. Like, I would not have thought that.
She's funny.
I didn't know she created Two Broke Girls also. Because I'm like, oh, I guess that's why she's so wealthy. Because this house is amazing.
ton of money.
She, like, helps Sonica with her confidence also. This girl's getting confidence out the wazoo. We see some like $42 million houses. We see $139 million houses. But yeah, Ben ends up, like we said, talking to Mauricio and they're all good. Everything ends very well. And then it ends with Mauricio bringing Sophia, who's their most recently graduated daughter. And it seems as though sets up for a second season.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, who's going to be the next CEO?
And everyone's like, oh.
And then that's the note
they're like, another sister. How many are there?
Yeah, no.
Which there are two. There's another one after this too. That's
They're like all the generations are coming.
The youngest one I think is in like a senior in high school or something. So
wow. So hey,
good luck.
This could be going on a long time.
Brandon's gonna be, you know, six. When I used to work at the restaurant, it was like owned by, a couple of families, but they had one, they had like a son that was like six and he would come into the restaurant and whenever he would ask another server for something. And I would be like, that's going to be your boss in about 8 years. So you need to.
Exactly. So you better do what he says.
So true. should we get into our interview?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, guys. So as I mentioned, many of us, I'm sure, have met Farrah and Alexia as the daughters of Kyle Richards on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But now we meet them as two full-grown women who are talented realtors in the very luxurious real estate firm, The Agency. Farrah's 34. She's a senior agent at the Umansky Group. We see her working towards becoming CEO. So please welcome Farrah. I've seen you on Housewives since the beginning, so I'm like, this is like a full circle moment for me. and it was so fun to watch the show and like see the whole, because I feel like The Agency we've all heard so much about, but to see it in action is like a whole different beast. So it was really, Lauren and I both really loved it, which is unusual because usually we don't like the same shows.
Yeah. Okay. That's a win.
It was because Lauren, like, I love some messy drama, but Lauren is higher brow.
Yeah. Less for the drama. But see, I love the drama on this show because I love how you guys solve stuff with, like, it's satisfying to watch you guys solve the drama in like an adult, mature way. It's like you guys have actual conversations like, you know, that really upset me. Let's talk about it. Like, you know, and right. I loved watching that because so many times on reality TV, it's just like, oh, you're a bitch. No, you're a bitch. No, we don't know what season two may hold for you guys. But, you know, this season, I loved just watching the show. And like Chris said, I'm usually, you know, very particular about, you know, reality, but I love watching it.
Thank you so much.
So Farrah, let's start with first and foremost, your engagement. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
With such elaborate annual birthday parties, what does a Farraween wedding look like?
Wow. I've gone through so many iterations in my head and I have not yet planned the wedding. I was like, okay, well, I want it big. And then I was like, no, I want it really small. And now I'm kind of back on the big. So I've been very indecisive.
Do you have a date?
I don't have a date, but I'm going to just, whatever, I'm making it happen in 2023, no matter what.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to like pick a venue based on their date. I'm going to find something that works that happens to be in that year because we need to get things, you know, the show on the road at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love
that. Listen, a big wedding is always, I have been a bridesmaid 14 times. So I feel like I'm,
no way.
I feel like I'm, wow. I'm an authority on weddings. And I've been to all kinds of weddings, but yeah, a big wedding is always just,
well, I want big, but I want it to be like, I know every single person there.
Yeah.
I love big, every single intimate person that's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be, you know, for other people or just my parents.
Yeah. Not like your friend. Yeah. Like your, like a work consort of a relative or something.
Yeah. Like not big just for the sake of being big, only if it's intentional.
Well, I hope makes we sense. See it. And I hope that you do costumes.
I know. Well, if it ends up being in October, it could be a little 35th, you know.
I mean, so fun. Mean,
but I don't know about a costume wedding aesthetically.
Yeah, the pictures, you might regret that a little bit. But
like, can everybody just change for the after party? That would be cool. Just everyone change into their costume. Because then you have to think, like, what if people try to leave to, like, be desperate and go to Halloween parties?
Yeah, that's true. And then you're taking a risk there of, like, the taste level of people coming, because on Halloween, like, costumes, people really could go crazy. Yeah, yeah, so
yeah. No, that can't happen. maybe the week before.
There you go. See,
or something like that.
It seems that one of the major driving forces for doing well and how hard you work is that you could possibly end up taking over the company. But we also see you debating possibly branching off on your own. Is taking over the company something that you're ultimately interested in?
Really scary to think about. And I don't know, to be honest. I don't have that answer to that. It sounds awesome and it sounds exciting, but I see what Mauricio goes through. And that's the thing, like watching him on the show, you see like everyone, you know, maybe wants something, they want more, including myself. But he's in an unbelievable, difficult position with the amount of agents that he has, the amount of staff. And there's always people that want more and want this and want that. And he has to make really hard decisions. So I don't think people really take that into consideration. And it's a hard job. So yeah. I think it would, you know, overtake my life. And is that something I want? Maybe. It depends kind of what happens. I'm going to have kids and if I'm going to, you know, be able to balance that. So I don't know.
Well, hopefully you have some time to decide.
Yeah. So did both of you sort of always want to join the family business, or is this something that, you know, your dad kind of wanted you guys to be involved in, or is this something that you've always wanted to do?
So I always loved real estate. I interned with Mauricio over summer in high school and college. Was always really into it, but I did feel like there was kind of like a taboo, a stigma about being a real estate agent. I thought it was kind of embarrassing, to be honest. And I was like, I could do so much more. But then when he told me that we were starting our own family business, our own company, and I could be there from day one and see like the business side also, I was very intrigued. So wow. I was like, I definitely want to see that. And if it's going to be a family business, like I want to be a part of that. I didn't know yet that I wanted to actually become an agent, but I wanted to be involved in the company in some capacity. And then I kind of got over the idea that it was embarrassing to be a real estate agent or in sales. I felt like a used car salesman, which is hilarious because that's what my fiance actually sells also.
It's like, funny to call a, you would never think of him as a used car salesman.
Never. Even. Yeah. He's like exotic vintage European sports cars. But that's what I used to think being a real estate agent kind of felt like to some people. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong, but now I think it's had a big transformation and it's a lot more glamorous, even though it's not actually, you know, in the day to day, but the perception is a lot, you know, cooler and more exciting than it was before.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize that you had been there since the beginning. That's crazy. The growth is like so huge. Did you ever think it would get as big as it is so quickly?
Never. I mean, we started as a boutique small firm. It was six of us in the office. I was like the receptionist doing the ads, Mauricio's assistant for 3 years. And from six, we grew very quickly. But I didn't know that we were going to be expanding and going into all these other markets. So,
How many people work for the agency currently? Do you know?
I think there's over 600 agents.
Wow.
And staff, it's got to be like hundreds.
That's crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is crazy.
That's a big staff. So, Farrah, we see that Melissa kind of stirs things up a little bit, you know, when she's introduced on the show. How are things with her nowadays? Are you guys still cool, still roommates? Like, what's going on there?
So we're only roommates when she comes to town from Dallas to visit. She stays at my house. Mm-hmm. She is one of my best friends. We're thick as thieves. She is an amazing person. She did stir the pot for sure. I think that she felt that Alexia needed tough love. I didn't like how she handled the situation, but she apologized. She took ownership and we moved on. And she is really a sweet, sweet, sweet girl.
Yeah. I like how, like you said, she really took ownership. Like, look, hey, this got blown up way more than it needed to. They had a conversation like adults and, you know, moved on.
You and Alexia seem to be super close. The whole family seems really close. Has it always been that way? And how did things sort of change when Alexia started working with you as well?
It has not always been that way because we are 7.5 years apart. Mm. So if you think about that when you're little, that's a big age gap. Mm-hmm. And then I moved out of the house. I started school early. So when I left for college, I was still 17. Mm. And most people are, you know, I guess 18. So I haven't lived in the house since then. And so we didn't really have the opportunity to be all that close until she started working at the agency. And she moved back from Boston after she finished college. And when she started working with us, I was so excited. But since then, we've become so, so, so close. We talk multiple times a day. We meet up, we work next to each other, even though we don't need to. We have our, you know, sometimes we work from home, we work at the office, but we like to meet up just to, you know, be on our computers next to each other. I tell her everything and we're so close. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. So at the end of this season of the show, we see your sister Sophia come in and possibly join the family business. Now it seems like, you know, the rest of the office was kind of a bit on edge about having another sister in the mix. Did you know that this was happening? Do you feel excited?
Had no idea.
You didn't?
No, even my sister didn't know.
Your guys' faces looked surprised, but I was like, they had to know, right?
We're not aware that Sophia was coming in for that purpose. And I mean, she knew she was filming a scene that day. I don't even think she knew because when she watched a show, she was like, oh my God, Not that it's not true. I mean, she's going to be joining the agency and all of that, but we were laughing. We were not expecting that on the show. And I mean, I'm really excited. She's another personality, totally different, just like Alexi and I are. She is really strong and extremely smart. So we're thrilled, but obviously I don't know how everyone else feels, but it was just funny because it's like, okay, everything just got smoothed out. Everyone, you know, all the issues kind of got resolved, and then she comes in and they're like, oh my God, another one.
Right.
How did you react when like Brandon says, like, how many sisters are there? When they're
it was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
And Portia, how old is Portia?
She's 14.
14. So she has some time before she'll be there.
She's got a little bit of time.
What is your favorite listing you've ever sold?
Favorite listing I've ever sold is one in Beverly Hills on Laurel Way. And that was one of my first deals, and it happened to be a massive one. Mauricio had the listing. I found a buyer, and it was, I sold it for $31 million. Ooh. So that was like crazy. I got a call from a friend, worked at a concierge company, have this mega person coming into town, make the list small. So I said, okay, cool. I'll show, you know, our own listings, and brought him to Mauricio's listing, bought the house. And then 2 years later, he said, hey, I never used this house, so can you sell it now? So then I brought in Mauricio onto the listing. Then I became the listing agent. So I sold that house twice.
Oh my God.
Wow. What?
Which was...
The house that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
The house that keeps on giving. So $31 million, then $33. So that was like double whammy to the max.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
I would never forget that either.
Right? Mm-hmm. 30 million, your first time at the gate. That's great. So I know that you kind of talked about, you know, your favorite parts about working with family. Is there anything that's your least favorite thing about working with family?
Having difficult conversations about things that I don't want to deal with, because like what you see on the show was a real like frustration of just, I couldn't quite navigate or put my finger on exactly why I was being, you know, a little frustrated. Mm-hmm. But it's hard because, again, like I said, Mauricio, the demand that he has, the schedule that he has, the amount of people that are tugging on, you know, every which way. So I have so much empathy because I see it firsthand and I see how hard he's working and how much he's giving to everyone. Mm-hmm. So then it makes me feel bad if I have, you know, something that I want to bring up.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you do have to advocate for yourself and you have to have those tough conversations. Absolutely. And I might not be right. I could be wrong. He might be right. But it's something we need to discuss. But it's not easy.
We love to end on a game, a little game. It's nice. It's light. And this one is called Turn This Shit Listing Into Gold. So we're going to give you a description of some horrific listings. I'm sorry. Let's do this one. We have two options. So this is like a would you rather. Would you rather sell a house that or this one? So for this first, would you rather a home where the previous owners were convinced that this home was haunted and that they have thus hid crucifixes around the house, the tenants may or may not find them. There's a group of people from a local church that walk by occasionally and pray for the house right outside the yard. Or the neighborhood is very nice. It's a beautiful house, but it's packed with ex-convicts. And a lot of the neighbors have like crazy barking dogs.
The second one. I would rather. I'm scared of ghosts.
It's like the lesser of two.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I think I would. I would. The second one, it's like at least
you have company.
At least you have.
You got neighbors.
Maybe you can become friends with them.
And you can call someone if something's like if there's ghosts and stuff. What do you call?
To go back, they're not trying to go back to jail. So
yeah, and I mean, how many ex-convicts can be in this? They've got to be like. You know, there can't be that many. It's a huge house.
Right.
And a beautiful.
Maybe they're cool. Who knows?
Yeah. I like the way you're thinking. I'm into that.
Okay. So home three. Would you rather have a home that was famously used in a big blockbuster movie. Tour buses drive by with adoring fans all the time, paparazzi, or the previous homeowners got evicted because they got caught running a huge... Wait, what?
They got, who's writing these?
They caught running a huge meth lab in the basement. And from time to time, you get their old customers showing up the door.
Well, obviously, the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what great to fuck? Sell a house that's in a movie.
Okay. Well, yay. That was that.
Would game. You rather have a big, beautiful house that was used in a Disney movie or have people that buy meth show up at the door every day?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Obvious. Well, thank you for playing our game. We loved having you on the show. And congrats on, you know, the show. You guys are doing big things, and I can't wait to continue to watch and see how, you know, it grows. Season 2, 3, 4, 5 generations all down the line.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you guys so much. Have a beautiful day.
That'll be us in a couple of years once we get our real estate license.
Mm-hmm. Once we start selling.
We have the concrete.
Right? We have the real estate, not the receipts.
All right, guys. Well, next episode, we are going to be taking a look back at some of our best and most shocking moments, as well as talk about what we have coming up for 2023. So send us your questions. We want to know what you're thinking about. We want to know what you want to hear in 2023. Can you believe that the year is almost ending already?
Flew. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely crazy. So guys, send us your questions, whether it's emails, selfie videos, voicemails, you name it, to receipts@castmedia.com. That's cast with a K. Or you can slide into our DMs. I'm at Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm Need for LSP, guys. And don't forget to follow. And you guys can watch us exclusively on To Doom. That's the official Netflix site to help find and fuel your fandom for the shows and movies you love. That's netflix.com/TUDUM. Today's episode of We Have the Receipts is a production by Netflix, To Doom, and Cast Media. We're your hosts, Chris Burns and Lawrence B. Hamilton.
Our producers are Enid Cortez and Arvin Lee. Our executive producers are Colin Thompson and Harris Lane. Our editor is Elliot Deneve, and our technical engineer is Travis Holden. See you next week!